Worshipping him. So thank you, Pastor Julie, for the kind invite. I apologise that it's taken me 4 years to respond to it. But nevertheless, we get there in the end. I'm going to ask Denise to come and read from the Bible a well-known passage. So you'll know this. She's a good reader. And then we're going to hope to make it come alive a little bit more today. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to be here with you all at long last. I'm going to read from Matthew 25, from verse 14. And the word says again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went out at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off. He dug a hole in the ground and he hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of these servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with 2 bags of gold also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathered where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I had not sown and gather where I had not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who had 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside, into the dark, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people, one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' The king will reply, 'Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it all for me.'"
You ready? This reading that we had is quite a serious reading. It's the teachings of Jesus. It talks about three people. Two were faithful, one wasn't. And it talks about the end of the age and the master coming and judgment and all of those kind of things. So it's pretty serious. The teaching of Jesus, the end of the age, judgment and eternal life. Now, we have several ways that we can look at this, and I'm trying to think now, how can I bring this home to you today? You see, Jesus said in John 15, 14, you are my friends if you do what I command. And so we are friends of Jesus if we're on the same page. Then Paul says in Romans 1:1, Paul, a servant of Christ. So it's interesting that we have these two ways of viewing our relationship with Jesus. One is as a friend who's fitting in with the plan. The other is a servant. And so I've thought about this. How can I get this across? So the title of this message this morning is Denise, My Servant. You've missed a bit there.
Oh, sorry, Master. I've missed a little bit.
So you see,
like me to...
you're doing a good job. So I'm so thankful that I've got this little servant here, wife, servant. She's wonderful. When I first met her on the Sandy Beach Road, when she had her miniskirt on and we picked her up, or picked her up off the side of the road and married her, it was all Hollywood romance and everything like that. And I can see that some of you have still got that in your marriage, which is wonderful. But I found that there was a whole lot more to Denise. She could cook. She could clean, she could vacuum clean, she could dust. You've seen her in action here today. And so Denise became my servant. And it's absolutely wonderful. The wheels have fallen off this a little bit because we had fierce winds in Launceston and our chimney cap blew off and it was on one side. And I said to Denise, you need to get up there and put that cap on there. And I can't understand why she didn't do that. I said, I'll hold the ladder for you. It'll be quite safe. And so there's a limitation to it. But, you know, for our relationship to grow, a marriage, there must be servanthood. There has to be servanthood. Because if she says, which she has never said yet, she's thought of saying it, up in the air with you, I'm doing my own thing. There's a problem there. Thank you. So, in any relationship, it's a two-way street. How about that? Here we go. You've done very well, dear. You've done very well, dear.
Now, I think you should have this because you can dust.
No. There's three servants, one master. Two servants do what they're called to do, one does not. We will look at the one that does not today and see if we can get inside his head. And so the first thing with this servant is he did not see his master in the correct light. He did not understand his boss at all. And that's a big problem when we do not understand Jesus, this one who has saved us, this one who wants to walk in tandem with us, as we have heard this morning. Think I'm on track a bit here. And so we must understand him. This unfaithful servant never really saw the master as loving. and as the one who believed in him. When you get down, and we all do, but if you stay there and feel unworthy and feel unanointed and feel this and feel that and feel something else, or maybe that only happens in Tasmania, I'm not sure, it may not happen here. We do ourselves an injustice because the Master entrusted, the word is, a talent to that man. And so the Master trusted the man. He had faith in him that he could do it. And God has got faith in you today. Otherwise, he would have put you in another generation or left you in the world. God has faith in you today. I guess the question is, do we have faith in him and his appointments? This man obviously did not. The second thing that I find out about him, he did not believe that the Master knew his capacity, because the Lord gave to each servant according to their ability. And so just recently, Denise and myself have taken a church back on, and I'm getting on. But God knows the capacity that we have within us to get the job done. And if he calls you to do something, he's giving you the capacity to do that. And we have to approach it by faith. For my emotions, my feelings, and what people may say to me are all up the creek. I've had denominational leaders, Pentecostal, come to me again and again and again, say, John, you can't do it. John, you won't succeed. John, you'll starve. Obviously, I'm not starving. And I'm thinking of staying on here because the food just keeps rolling on. But this man, he didn't believe that the Master knew what he was doing and that the Master knew the potential in him, the availability, the capacity in him, that the Lord would give him a suitable job, a job description, one talent. Be faithful with that. More will come down the track. But he could not accept that. Is God calling you today? I'd be very surprised if he's changed his character, and he's not. It will be out of character for God not to call you and to call you forward and on into this day. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice. If the Lord has made this day, then there's things that we can do. There's experiences that we can have. There's help that we can provide. This day belongs to the Lord, and we are his. And then the third and important point here with this man is, he understood that the Master could do anything. Because he said, I know that you're a hard man. And he said, I know that you can reap a harvest even if there's no sowing. Even if I don't do anything, you can reap a harvest. You can bring the souls in. You can do this. You can do that. You are God. With God, all things are possible. And so the guy hid behind that promise and reality. Hid behind it and thought, well, God, you're in charge of the church. You can do it. I'll just continue to sit back and worship you. It's pretty serious, this point. But the Lord had designated that this man work in tandem with him. Probably going to hear that word again. He designated that this would be a sowing and reaping exercise. That he was to sow and invest that money. But he would not do it. And so his understanding of the Lord was warped and out of kilter. And then finally, the most tragic thing about this story is this. He went and dug a hole and put the Lord's precious gift and talent in the ground, covered it up, and didn't even mark it. And the Lord says to him, why didn't you put it in the bank? You got 3.5%. Oh, sorry, 3.2, 3.1, whatever it is. But at least it's something. And if you use your gift and your talent, and you might not be all that good at or whatever, but there will be something. And you can't compare yourself to someone else, but you can do something. And something is better than nothing. And so he, fourth point, he precluded anyone else from getting that talent and using it. Wasn't going to go to the bank, wasn't going to be handed over to someone here. No, it's in the ground. I put my foot on it, I've buried it. I know where it is, I take it back out and I give it back at the end of the age. And that is frowned upon. So, he could not see the master in the correct light. More tragically, he could not see himself in the correct light. Oh, revival's coming, revival's coming. God's going to pour out his spirit. More on that tonight. Yes, and God can do more than we can ask or imagine, but it is for those that are actively moving in whatever God is calling them to do day by day. It's for the disciples. It's for the servants. It's for the ones who are alongside. That's what it's for, and that's you and me. So he did not see himself in the correct light. He did not see the significance of the ministry and the calling that he had. He did not see the eternal significance of this, that at the end of the age, there would be an awesome, wonderful thing happen, and that his input could make a difference come the end of the age. Ever prayed for someone and never seen anything happen? Well, you just might see something happen at the end of the age. You may not see it happen now, but at the end of the age, those prayers and that work that you have done, it will be more than you can imagine. You will see people, you will see situations, you will be amazed at what has happened through your life because it has eternal significance. Whether my church is small, great, large, whatever, my ministry is small, great, whatever, does not matter. What matters is I got the apron on and I'm having a go. And everyone said, moo. Is there cows on there, is there? Yeah, okay. So he did not see himself correctly. I've been in this game for a while now. 49 years. The number of people that do not see themselves correctly. Someone has been mean to them and they've taken it on board. My goodness me. If I would have done that, I would have been in the grave. That many people have been mean to me, you know. My wife... No, I better be quiet. So he didn't see the significance of his ministry. How sad that is, that it's eternal and life-changing. The second thing is, he failed to have confidence in the God-given capacity that he had. I was afraid, he said. I was afraid. He didn't see the God-given capacity that was in him. He rejected that. I was afraid. I can't do that. I know God has called me to do this or do this or do that or something, but I'm afraid. He knew more than God. He believed he knew more than God. The greatest presumption. I know more than you, God. I know what I can handle. And what I can't handle, So don't bother me and don't bother speaking to me. I'm putting everything in the ground and covering it up. He failed to have confidence in the God-given capacity that the Lord had put in him. Now, over the years, I've been up, down and around and all the rest of it, but the gift of God, the Bible says, is without repentance. God even has a gifting for Israel. Even now, after all these thousands of years, Jesus is coming back, as we heard, to Jerusalem, and he's coming back for them and us. The gift of God is still there in you. It's the gift that is given. What parent gives a gift? Coming up to that, I'm dreading it. The grandkids want money now. They're bigger and they want money. I never, ever had any of those suckers over the years give the gift back. They might have thought of giving it back and saying, it's not enough, do it again. But they never really give it up. Thanks, Pa. Thanks, Pa. Thanks, Mama. Thanks very much. Yeah, take it. And it's theirs. I want them to spend it wisely. But no, we've got to spend it on this and that and certain trinkets and whatever. Don't make any sense. But you've given it. It's not mine anymore. And when God gives you the gift, he has given it to you. It's yours. It's yours. It's yours. That's it. But this man didn't understand that. He didn't value the ability and the gift that was given. Moving on quickly. The next thing is about his own life. An unwillingness to release the talent to anyone else so that there could be some kind of benefit. Already talked about that. So Jesus branded that person in his teaching, in his story, as wicked. This is the words of Jesus, not mine. Lazy, but I'm retiring age, Jesus. This phone call to take this church on can't be right because of my age. But he keeps waking me up at 2 o'clock every morning and saying, do this, do this, do this. I have a choice in the face of my age, my limitation, and everything else. At the end of the week, I said to Denise, we got two choices. They're ours to make, obedience or disobedience. Take your pick. We had the choice. It's ours to make. Obedience, disobedience. He was wicked, lazy, and worthless, and this was all his choice. You choose whether you come to church or not. Whether you've got mental issues or not, and I've been there and stuff like that, you choose life or death. You choose to be in church. You choose to be in the Bible. You choose to go and speak to that person. You ultimately choose. He does not drive you to it. The devil drives, the Holy Spirit leads and encourages. It's our choice. And this man bombed out badly. He missed out on the blessings of the Lord's return. Come, let us celebrate together, it says in the New Living Translation. And I think that's awesome to think ahead of you, no matter what happens, there is this call from Jesus. We will celebrate together on that day. If that does not stir you, nothing I say will today. The thought of being with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the thought of being with my brothers and sisters worldwide down through the ages, the thought of being with Joseph, the thought of being with Moses, the thought of being with these great ones, Paul, the thought of being with John Mark and all the rest of them, forever and ever and ever and ever, and the joy of the Lord being there. That is awesome. Come, let us celebrate together. Well, where then are we to invest? How do I do this? How do I use my talent? Jesus does not leave us flying blind, because Denise read the next section. It involves feeding, drinking, hospitality, clothing, caring, sick people, visitation of those who are shut in. I've just been recently driving down the road, had an hour to spare in our town, and I thought a burden came upon me. I've been thinking about it and praying about it for some time. I met the principal of the local school. He shared a few things. Nothing seemed to take place. And the Holy Spirit said, now, go now, go now. So I went down to that place, to the epicenter, the office, whatever, was welcomed in there, and I came out in a car park and said, God, you have opened a big door of opportunity. See, the power of the Holy Spirit, the direction of the Holy Spirit, and me stupid enough to think, well, I've got some capacity in me, I'll go. I'll go. Because I don't have all the paperwork for it. I don't have a diploma. I don't have a doctorate. I'm not a teacher. School days were the worst days for me. I hated school days. But here is God sending someone back into a place where they, many of them, are bound and shut in and locked in their mind. What an opportunity that we will take up. All of these things are people orientated, and we can do it. God is a God of prosperity. He wants us to increase, Jeremiah 29:11. He wants us to build houses. He wants us to increase in number and do not decrease. He wants us to prosper and pray for the area. It's very important that we do that. So what is my next step here today in light of this? What can I do? Well, Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it. It may seem small, but behind that there can be a big door. For in the realm of the dead, where you are going, there is neither working, planning, knowledge, or wisdom. Friends, this is not a dry run. We're not having a practice run. And as I said at the breakfast, I'm sure you all took it in, we're not Buddhists. You aren't coming back as a rat or a frog. This isn't a dry run. This is it. And we are here to make a difference. And God wants us to make a difference. He's put capacity and giftings within us to do whatever we can do, whatever we're led to do. But when I'm gone, we pass the graveyard, there is silence there on the way here. There was a little sign, I forget what it is now. Long Swamp Graveyard. And there they all are. There is silence. There is peace. There are no arguments. And nothing is getting done. It's too late for them. They've had their opportunity. But you got your opportunity here, for you are here in this generation for such a time as this. So I think what I'm going to do is do the next thing. do the next thing. And if the sir says to me, go now to that school, that's what I'll do. I'm willing to be a fool for Jesus. The second thing, I must be aware that if more is needed, more will be given. It says in John 14, 15, it says, I will ask the Father, he will give you an advocate to help you and be with you forever. Oh, my friends, I've had people come to me and say, the anointing has left you, John. They wrote it down. I should have. I burnt the papers, but I probably should have kept them to show everyone. No, but the anointing, the Holy Spirit, has been given to us regardless of our performance. I'm still married regardless of my performance. My dusting is hopeless. My ironing is no good. So it's not to do with performance. Then he said, you can iron that. I never heard it. I purposely never heard it. I told Jesus for 20 years, I want to do traveling ministry. I will never pastor again. He has selective hearing. He never heard it. So we have the Holy Spirit to help us, even in the things that we thought we'd never do, don't want to ever do again. But God has a way of bringing us around and strengthening us by the Spirit of God. If you need more, more will be given. Jesus said to those fledgling disciples, you're going to change the world. You're going to go out into the world. You're going to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You're going to go to Tasmania. Imagine that. And here's these tin pot fishermen that had never been anywhere or done anything. Who knew best? And we are here today because they believed in God and they believed in the gift of God in them. And that's why you're here today. Make no mistake about it. If more is needed, more will be given. The commendation for Jesus will be our greatest joy. You see, even slaves in the New Testament, where Paul wrote to them, he said, obey your earthly masters, serve them, because it's really the Lord you're serving. And on that day, you will receive a rich reward. We have the privilege in participating in the greatest project ever, the kingdom of God. Ephesians 3:11 says, the eternal purposes of God. We are about the eternal purposes of God. Now, I'm going to upset you all now. This church cannot grow unless you have a go. God is not going to send Billy Graham in. His day is finished. He's in another graveyard. Sorry. And this church will not grow by stuff on TV. It will encourage you, Robert Morris, whoever, and I'm not saying don't do that, but this church will grow when you glean from those saints and you get built up in the Holy Spirit and you go out and I go out and we talk to those people and encourage those people and take a plate of food and just be with them and say, can I pray with you? And get into the capacity that God has placed in us and get bold and get courageous and get on with what God is calling you to do. What a joy you have. What a joy you have. A commission from God that you should be in this generation, that you should be in this place, that you should be in this area, and that the great Holy Spirit who hovered over all of the earth, and when God spoke, the Spirit moved, and light came, and water came, and fish came, and everything else came. That Spirit lives in you. That Spirit lives in you. So, my friends, I want to encourage you today. Be faithful with what God has given you, and we will see the name of Jesus more and more and more. held in high honor in this region, and we will be part of the reason why that happens, because God has called us to use the gift that He has firmly, securely placed within us. And what God has put in you cannot be taken away. Cannot be taken away by the enemy of our soul. This is the work of God. He can try to stop you. He can try to mess with your brain. But the reality is, God gives gifts to His people, and that is you. Would you stand with me for a moment, please? We're going to do a bit more praying tonight for one another.